Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to those who are listening online. Welcome to the third day, the afternoon session of our ministers' convention out here at Grace Ranch. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Truly God is great. Amen. All right. Let us, Lord, may your word come forth. We're going to hear some different voices today, and may they come together in you. And Lord, may we receive that word and go forward and conform our lives unto it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Wonderful is thy We're done.
Okay. All right. David, again, just a few minutes before we came in here, asked me to come up and speak. One thing I told Ann a few weeks ago, and when I was reading how God is the Father of lights, and in Him is no darkness at all. And I think we ought to start all of our ministries off with that thought, because if you know, because the world thinks all this evil that's going on in the world that God's just allowing to happen, but they don't know there is no evil in God, none. But if you know that, and you know that God is righteous, you know that He's merciful, you know that He's kind, and His grace is everlasting, you know, why wouldn't you want to tell that to other people so they would know Him? And then you start witnessing the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how they might get to know Him.
I get a little extra time, right?
There you go. All right. I want to go over to 1 Corinthians. Number 1, 10. All right, Paul says here in verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that ye be perfectly joined in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, I've known being around here for a while and watching in the past and listening to some people doing different little sermons and talks and at different of our establishments, that the one thing we need to strive for is to be all of one mind and be speaking the same thing, so that there is no division among us. There has been some division in the past. That's where these conferences are so important, for us to get retuned and realigned. But I'd also invite everybody to get in to the website, to go to the teachings, and go through all of them again. Understand them. Study them. If you have a question about any of them, go to your disciples or to whoever is above you. Ask the questions. Get the answers. Because if we're walking in the Spirit, all in one accord, nothing, not a single thing, can stand against us. Amen.
The passing of the torch. James talked last night about when he was in Matthew and looking at the Beatitudes. The pure of heart shall see God. So what is it to be pure of heart? It's to want one thing, and one thing only. To have that thing as the most important thing, because a heart in that particular scripture is all about your mind. Where's your head at? And one of the things over the last, I don't know, probably more over the past couple of months than any time in my life before, as I've sought to wrestle down the idea of sin and seeking to serve the Lord in a pure heart, I come to understand that what I am by nature, what we are by nature, is the problem. And what Jesus did in coming here was to take on the form of what we are as selfish man, operate in pure unselfishness, and then take all of the sin that self throughout the ages has committed in the interest of its own want in individuals such as ourselves and certainly just like me, and nail all of that to the cross so that people that are sinners like me could walk forward in freedom and serve God and be refined in that pure heart so that we could see God. Seeing God is coming to understand what He is, what He wants, what He's all about. And as our hearts are refined and we learn that in many cases, at least for this guy, there's times when I don't want to deal with God. I don't know about anybody else. There's times when I want to do what I want to do, and it doesn't have anything to do with God. There's times when I want my own way in a situation. And someone dear to me sometimes has a different thing in mind. All of these things that we come up against as we seek to serve the Lord are designed to teach us this central idea about ourselves. In us is no good thing. Because it's only when we perceive with clarity that we have absolutely nothing to offer according to nature that God supernaturally can work in us for the good of others. And that's really what the gospel is all about, right? It began with Jesus through the apostles, and it goes forth into all the world. And as each person sees the glory of God, that unestimable gift of eternal life to a person undeserving, very often unwilling to do good, and surely undeserving of any good, as that message of hope goes forward, the world is astonished and amazed. I know I was astonished and amazed when I met the Lord and began to understand that the Creator of the universe was accessible to me. And that's really what God holds out for you. But along with it, and perhaps as the most essential element of it, the recognition of your own uselessness, your own depravity, your own inability to accomplish any good thing, your own perfect selfishness, in contrast with what Jesus is, which is perfect self without selfishness, perfect love, that is. That's the fellowship that we have in the saints in His body. And it is always a blessing to be able to come to Texas, be able to hang out with people who are earnestly seeking that same relationship. Because out in the world, there aren't many, there are damn few and far between, that care anything at all about the God of the universe, the Creator of all things. And that it's unfortunate because most people are stuck in the wavelength of me. And what we can bring as we bring the hope of salvation through the gospel is a different frequency, a place where people can come to know that there is a perfect love, a perfect God, and a perfect hope of redemption and eternal life for them. It's a message we can all bring, one that we should be eager to bring. It's a privilege to bring that message. Amen.
I was going to get up here and talk about James 1:13. Which is being slow to wrath. slow to speak. And now I've decided not to talk about that. But it's good to be thinking on that. We all know why. So I've chosen 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because of all the topics in the Bible, all the things that there are to talk about, grace is something that's been slippery for me to get a hold on. And grace is the very thing that God uses to save us and get us out of here. If not for his grace, no one would make it. No one. We would all die and burn. Practicing grace one to another is another thing entirely. We often receive grace from the Lord and then don't give it out. And it's like the Dead Sea. Eventually, we're going to get a wake-up call from him. So as we're together, let's be gracious one to another. Sometimes I've seen kind of a one-upmanship attitude start. And that's when people want to out-preach one another. Here we're preaching to the choir. It is good to speak the word of God. But when someone says it right, don't feel like we have to jump up there and say it better. Just go on. There's more to talk about. There's more about him to learn. And besides the spirit that goes out in is not the spirit of God. I just don't even know how to tell you how great God is. The amount of love that he has for us is something we can't even imagine. Because this place is a mess, and he loves us anyway. And he knew what he was getting into, and he chose to love us anyway. And every day, think about it, every one of us, every breath, every heartbeat, there he is. But for his love, this whole thing would just disintegrate. I mean, on an atomic level, just wouldn't hold together. It's by his will and his love that happens. So praise him and try to receive his grace. And try, really try, to extend grace one to another. Thank you.
Give the Lord a cheer. I liked those messages. That was good. Amen. And one thing in where Gail was reading, and I want to tie something together that we chatted a little bit about last night in the after meeting. And Gail read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. She said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And the next verse ties us into what Bob was preaching and something that was talking about last night. It says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also," which is what 1 Corinthians 1:10 is talking about, that we all speak the same thing. See, that's what the faithful men do who shall teach others also. We saw four people stand up today, just ordinary people from among our congregation. And each of the people who stood up, praise God, shared the word of the Lord with you today. And we've heard throughout this week people stand up and share the word of the Lord with you. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. When we do it here in the choir, so to speak, as Gail was saying, it's easier. It also has its difficulties. It can be sometimes a little intimidating, right, to get up here and preach before one another. But it's actually easier than when we have to go out. Because when we have to go out, now we don't know what kind of reception we're going to get. And that's why the verses that come after this are, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." See, that's that part here. It's easy. But the reason why you're here is this is like school, if you will. And this is where you get trained and the like. And then what you do is you go out and you practice what you've learned. And you have to stand in that word no matter what it is that comes against you. And you can only stand in that word no matter what it is that comes against you when you love the people you're ministering that word to. Because you're standing for them even when they're against you. And you know who you have to love most? You have to love the Lord. And you have to be like Stephen was over there where he said, "Father, forgive them for they know not what they do." The truth is, when we go off this ranch here and we go out here into the world, the people don't even know what they're doing. I mean, sure, they know that, you know, last night I drank too much and I woke up with a hangover, or last night I did this or I smacked my kid or whatever it is that might have happened. But they have no idea why they do these things. They have no idea why everybody around them does these things. They just know they're unhappy with the way things are, and that anger, frustration, dissatisfaction gets expressed in all these ornery ways. And then there are those who think they know. And they love to have the preeminence, and they love to tell you what to do, and they love to kind of smack you down, make you keep your place. And the fact of the matter is, we're the children of God. And I'm going to read to you something over in Deuteronomy in a minute that talks a little bit about this. But the other thing I wanted to say, and, you know, we talked yesterday, the day before, a little bit about how Paul said, "Be ye followers of me." And he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." And if you remember last night in the after meeting, Richard was talking about the ganglia. Because I'd mentioned, you know, in last night's service, you know, here was the ganglia. You could see it on Cheryl. Everybody who was there could see it. And Richard said beforehand, especially to those who were right up there with him, he said, "You see that ganglia? You see it?" He said, "You watch." And he just put his hand down. And I forget exactly what he said. He might have said, "Be gone," or "Be healed," or whatever it was. And when he lifted up his hand, there was no ganglia. And last night, I had mentioned how any of us can say the same thing. But there's a difference between saying the same thing and the ganglia being gone when you're done saying it. And the place in which that ganglia is gone when you're done saying it is when you're standing in Jesus' stead. And that, I mean, Scott was talking about the privilege that we have. What greater privilege is there than to stand in Jesus' stead? See, in the real place the Lord wants us to come to, and we have to work our way there sometimes by talking about these things that we've seen, but what he wants us to do is he wants us to get to the place where we walk the very things we've seen. Right, where we walk in that confidence in the Lord, knowing that when we lift up our hand, there's not going to be a ganglia in the end, or there's not going to be a goiter, or there's not going to be a withered limb, or whatever it happens to be. That the Lord, who we know through the Word, is capable of doing these things, wants you and me to do likewise because he loves us. So I want to turn to Deuteronomy. I'd mentioned Deuteronomy. We'll go to chapter 10, I believe it is. And one of the things I like about Deuteronomy, I haven't read it in ages, it seems to me. But I like Deuteronomy because it's really Moses' like last day. It's his last testament to the children of Israel. These are the same ones who were about ready to go over and cross the River Jordan and go and take the land. And he says, beginning with verse 12, he says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require? What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God." And I want to stop there for a moment. We're going to go through a little bit about what that is. And that fearing the Lord thy God is a critical thing to staying on the straight and narrow. And what you're going to see that happened with the children of Israel when they went out, and I believe some of it Moses is going to talk about here, but if not, Deuteronomy 7 goes into it in some detail. And that is, they're going to go and they're going to have to drive out their enemies from the land. And the reason why they're driving out their enemies is because the time for those enemies' judgment has come. The pride, I mean, remember, they'd had Abraham as a witness. They had had Isaac as a witness. They had had Jacob as a witness. They had had Joseph as a witness. Because remember, they had to go to Egypt to get their food. They had had for four generations, they had had the witness of the Lord unto them. And when Israel came out in accordance with what they already knew, remember when they go to Jericho? The people knew that God had given them the land. Isn't that what Rahab testified of? She testified that they knew, but their pride would not let them yield unto the Lord. And so they were judged and they were destroyed. And the testimony of Moses to the children of Israel was that, look, the Lord's going to drive them out. But if you show pity unto them, if you go and make you marriages unto them, you go join yourself unto them, you go do these things, then the very thing that he has done for you will be done unto you, done unto thee, meaning Israel. And that's what happened with Israel. And you see it as there was an ebb and flow over the next 1,500 years or so as Israel went up and they went down and they went up and they went down and they went up and they went down until they just didn't go up again. And the judgment came. And I share that with you because when we go in, take the person who departed from here earlier this week. It was critical that he be separated. It was critical. You know, he's not going to speak well of us for it. I know apparently he didn't speak well of me for it when Scott was taking him in. But it was his own words and his own actions that separated him. And those of you who were present when that separation occurred knew that the olive branch of grace was extended unto him. And what happened was he not only refused to take it, but was offended at it. He was offended at it. And I just tell you, you can't lament that these kinds of things happen. It is going to be the way in which it's going to be. And you leave them to the Lord. If a person later repents before the Lord and they find a place of repentance, praise God. You don't hold it against them what happened. But to some of the things that have happened since then, it was very important that that separation occur. And so he goes here and he says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways." To walk in all his ways. Amen. Thank you, Megan. His ways are not our ways, folks. I mean, Scott, that's what Scott was talking about. His ways are not our ways. So if we're going to walk in that new life that he has for us, then we've got to be willing to lay our ways down. And remember, one of the things, and I say this to all, but in some ways particularly to you ladies who are here among us, God is a man, and his Holy Spirit is a male spirit. And if you're going to walk in all his ways, you're going to have to learn to walk in that spirit. And that can be hard. It's hard for anybody. But I can tell you, I mean, I know, for example, Davey and I were chatting one day, and it's been a couple years ago, and I forget specifically what the event was, but let me just share you a little bit of it. It's well known and well documented among us here that there's been like this division in the Atherton family between like Robin, James, and I on one side, and then everybody else on the other side. And it has been everybody else on the other side, and not in with a vehement hatred at times. And I remember we were talking, I mean, for Robin as a mother, to choose to stand and allow the separation that occurred between she and her children, that's remarkable. It is a remarkable thing. I mean, utterly remarkable. It is so contrary to how a woman by nature is. I mean, face it. I mean, it is. I can't think of something that's more contrary to how a woman is by nature than to say and do things that are going to result in a separation with your children and a hatred of you by your children. I mean, think of it. Robin likes to make things. Many of you, Emily, you have, many of the other children here, other people have received things made by her. She loves to make things. It's something that she just loves to do. And when she would send these things to her grandchildren, the packages would not even be opened. Not even opened. For not a month, not a week, not a day, but for years. Can you imagine? That's hard. And it's, I mean, she's my sister. She talks to me about stuff. I know it's been hard. There's not been anything easy about it. But, I mean, I know one day one of the things Davey and I were talking about is how blessed he was by her decision that way, not because of, and how pleased, not because of she followed counsel or anything like that, but because for a woman to choose to stand and do something like that is so contrary. It's so overcoming everything it almost is inborn into a woman. It's an amazing thing. And yet we're now beginning to see the turn. We're beginning to see the fruit of that action. And so now the hope's beginning to build for a long time it's been there, but there hasn't been much to see to suggest that it was going to come to pass. Now we begin to see we're gaining the ground, and it's kind of like in that battle. If you've ever been in a battle, sometimes you may have experienced in sport. Somebody like me, I experience it in things like in the law practice and the like. I seem to have a lot of fighting to do. It seems like it's my daily bread a lot of the time. And in those battles, a lot of times you just feel like you're getting attacked on all sides, and all you're doing is you just keep going. You just will not give up. You 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 will not give up. I will not give up. You cannot see how the way is that you can win. You cannot see that there's even a chance, but you just choose, I will not give up. But then when the things begin to turn, and you begin to see that, wait a second here, the tide of this battle is turning. Ooh, I'll tell you what, there's something real sweet about that when you're in a battle. That's a little dangerous. You got to be careful, because it's very easy to then lose the focus you had when you were just like, I will not give up, I will not give up, I will not give up, I will not accept defeat. And when that begins to turn, you have to continue to maintain the exact same focus you had, but now you can begin to accelerate. And as you begin to accelerate and that enemy begins to run and you start destroying that enemy, there's a joy that overcomes you and a gratefulness and a thankfulness to the Lord that overcomes you. And it's exciting. It's exciting. And that's where I see that battle now. So praise God and continue to keep her in prayer. So it says, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve. I think it's interesting. We always talk about love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And I've been saying multiple times that, you know, being a minister or love is to serve others. So what's it say? And to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. See, that's taking hold of that new life that he set out before us. He didn't care about the old stuff. Doesn't care. It does not matter. That was yesterday. If you want to seize the new life that he has for you, all you got to do is keep his commandments. It's all you got to do. He says to us to love one another. He says to love him. He says us even to love those who hate us and to do good unto them. Amen? That's what he says. We can do that. There's not a one of us here who cannot do that. Love. One word. Three different situations. Top of the order, God. Next in line, one another. After that, everybody else. Does he ever say to change that? And when they reject that love, when they reject that love, let them be. Let them go. Don't waste your time on them. The beauty of it is, and one of the things, if you've been in part of this fellowship for any period of time, that you'll see, is that you don't have to go about establishing that that which you have spoken unto them is right. The Lord will establish it to them. And one of the most powerful ways in which the Lord establishes the truth to people is their rejection of it. And then they come back to you and they whine and cry, why is all this happening to me? If God is love, why is all this happening to me? Well, because you rejected his love. You preferred all this other crap and you're going to blame him for the situation you find yourself in? Uh-uh. Doesn't work that way. God died for you. The only way to get what he has for you is to receive his sacrifice. To humble yourself and receive that which he has done for you. And so that you know that he loves you, so that you can know that these words are true, be healed in the name of Jesus. And watch the person be healed. And then they can know that notwithstanding all the stupid, idiotic things they have done, notwithstanding all of that, that God loves them. And then you got to let them do what they're going to do. I mean, remember the 10 lepers? Only one turned back to say thank you. Remember the towns in which most of Jesus' mighty works had been done? When he passes through later, it's woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the works that had been done in thee had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes long ago. See, people by nature take even that which God in his grace does unto them somehow as being a validation of them. And this is why Jesus committed himself to no man, for he knew what was in men. And that's how we have to be. Sure, you ministered the gospel. Sure, the person said, praise the Lord. Sure, the person received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They're not your person. They're his person. If they don't want him, what do you want with them? So you have to let them go. You follow what I'm saying? And in that, as you do that, and God moves to manifest who he approves and who he does not, the people can see the choice that is before them. And then it's black and white. Black and white. And now they have the choice and they can make, hopefully, a wise one. But whichever way they choose, you can't make it for them. And whether that's your child, whether that's your friend, whether that's your mother, whether it's your father, whether it's your brother, sister, mother, husband, wife, it is what it is. You have to love his family, those that are of the blood of Jesus, above all. Amen.
Oh, we're missing somebody.
We need my dad.
Go ahead,
Rick. We're
missing
our drummer.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Thank you.
Do you guys have another one? Or is that it for tonight?
We have Blow the
Trumpet. What'd you say, Davey? Do another one. Praise the Lord. He is here, and he wants to work a wonder. Amen. Let's watch him do it. Be a part of that. For folks online, we'll be back this evening. For everybody else, we've got the after meeting over in the camp kitchen. We'll see you there. May the Lord bless you.